I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As much as the Biden administration has undermined Israel, the radical left is protesting Biden, saying you're not pro-Hamas enough, because that today is the state of the Democrat Party. They have a viciously anti-Semitic radical left that is pounding this White House for not doing even more to hurt the state of Israel.
That is Senator Ted Cruz, and he nailed it because, pardon me, every time Biden takes a step to supposedly say, I support Israel, he takes two steps back as soon as the left get in front of him, start yelling, PLO, PLO, and for the Hamas group. I did not watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I seldom do. Maybe you did. It's a great big event. You know, big balloons, Snoopy, all these things, and they're massive balloons. I've never seen it in person. And quite honestly, I'm that guy that I could care less. Okay, I'm sorry. But for those of you who love it and like it and is part of Christmas tradition, I should say Thanksgiving tradition, you know, to do the Macy's Day Parade and have all of the balloons and people gathered and so forth, I'm just thankful, one, we did not have any terrorist action at it. And yet we did have some of the pro-Hamas people show up and trying to yank the balloons, and they had their hands painted in green so they could put their handprints on the balloons if they could get to them and things of this nature. I'm giving it to you basically a lot of it secondhand. I did not actually watch it. I didn't see it, but I've seen enough reports indicating that it went down like that. I do believe that if they have any opportunity, the crazies on the left that really have no understanding of the PLO, no understanding of what's happened in Gaza in the past, have no understanding or really no care about the children that were slaughtered by the Hamas attack on October 7th, they will take advantage of anything and any opportunity. Oh, if you're watching this, by the way, I remind you, you can do so when we're on the air. This is not vodka, it's water. Looks like vodka, doesn't it? So reminding you that here we are, November 28, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. And as usual, when we are on the air for you from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, right here for you, we are also streaming video at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And various platforms also exist that I can't even stay up with all of them. But however you choose to watch the program, if you watch the video, we thank you for doing so. Or listen to the audio. And at the same time, if you want to share with others, I always, always encourage you to do so. Senator Cruz pointing out that he just sees that Biden seems to be more for Hamas than he is for Israel. There's a story that's coming out that Hamas has now released 12 more hostages, including 10 Israelis. That happened earlier in the day. All part of the continuing ceasefire agreement. How many more days do you think they're going to want to stretch out? Are we going to hear another report come out and say, Hey, we got more hostages we're willing to give them to you if you cease fire for another 4, 5 days, 6 days? Do I hear 8? Do I hear 10? Do I hear 20? It's pretty difficult to decide that and make it that clear that, no, we're not interested in getting any more hostages out alive. We're just going to come in and take them if we can. And we're not going to continue to hold fire. We're going to come in and exterminate Hamas. in its entirety. Now, it's easy to say if you don't have one of your relatives being held hostage. Look at it this way. When the Vietnam War ended, when it's clear it was over, no one wanted to be the last one to die in the Vietnam War. No one wanted to be the last one to die in World War II. No one wants to be the last hostage killed by Hamas because Israelis were coming to get them. And you wouldn't want it for you or any member of your family, nor should you for anyone else. But Hamas is using them as a gambit. That's the reason they took them in the beginning. They knew they had no real power to use against what Israel's might would be. And remember, they were videotaping a lot of what they were doing, and they wanted it to spread to the rest of the world to incite more jihadists so that they would think, we are rising up. We will kill Jews everywhere. It's not just Israel. It's everywhere. And, of course, you got the Iranian parliament. The very day that Biden originally said, I will unfreeze that money held in Qatar, they were standing in the middle of the parliament shouting, death to America. And we're giving them, or going to give them money? Well, that came to halt. That was $6 billion. But I'll also remind you that during the Biden administration, that $6 billion is paltry compared to $100 billion plus they've been getting, because we have not been enforcing the sanctions that were in place when Trump was in office. Now, you can say, oh, you just had to find a way to make Trump look good. That was not my point. Nor is it really my point to make Biden look bad. I'm simply saying, look at the money they were making because we lifted a lot of sanctions. So that latest update that, again, more hostages being released. We're also been told that even the Hamas leadership is apparently of the belief that some of our hostages are missing. We don't know what happened to them. Now, maybe they were taken by another group inside Hamas who decided they wanted them for their pleasure or whatever they chose. We have heard and seen reports that Hamas did exchange or give hostages to another terrorist group in Gaza. Was that in exchange for weapons or what? We don't know at this point. But once again, back to Senator Cruz, when you start trying to look at Biden and how he has been dealing with Israel, there are a lot of question marks.
It's important to understand Joe Biden has been the most anti-Israel president the United States has ever had. From the very beginning of the Biden administration, this administration has undermined the government of Israel at every step. They've done so systematically. They've done so at a granular level. He is surrounded by radical anti-Israel activists. In his administration, his lead negotiator on Iran, Rob Malley, who's been fired, had his security clearance revoked because presumably of violations sharing secrets somehow with Iran. His top three advisors, or three of his top three advisors, were Iranian operatives working for the Iranian Foreign Ministry, working essentially as spies on behalf of the government of Iran, undermining the U.S. government. Since October 7th, since the October 7th attack began, the Biden administration at every stage has worked to undermine Israel.
And they continue to do so. My guest in the last hour, in case you missed him, I really encourage you to pull up the podcast, audio or video, either one, in the interview of David Harsanyi, senior editor for The Federalist, saying the U.S. should not tell Israel that it needs to give Palestinians their own state. We shouldn't be telling Israel to do anything. But we are under the Biden administration. In fact, one of the later stories coming out is that a source within the Israeli government today telling Breitbart News that Biden's pressure will lead to Hamas surviving the war intact rather than allowing Israel to destroy it and remove its military and governing capabilities. That is because much of what you just were hearing from Senator Cruz. In recent days, the White House has acknowledged that Israel intends to continue fighting Hamas after the current pause, which Biden said is getting us hostages. We're getting people free. Well, the Israeli cabinet went along with it for a period of time now. The White House advisor John Kirby said yesterday, the Israelis have been pretty clear that once the pauses are complete, the hostage exchanges are over, they intend to continue their military operations against Hamas. Of course they will. Why shouldn't they? The White House no longer clearly stating that it shares that goal that Israel should do what it should be doing. Remind you again, this whole thing, when you see these students in the streets shouting, PLO, PLO, they're talking about Palestinians, not so much Hamas. But they're basically endorsing what Hamas has done. And Hamas is claiming, and those in the streets are claiming the same, you know, you've kept us captive too long, occupied our country. And that's why we're rebelling and fighting. And a reason and an excuse to kill babies? There's no justification. None. May I repeat it again, in case you missed it? None. Keep in mind, too, that Israel actually gave Gaza to the Palestinians. They did. They did it and moved a lot of the Jewish settlers out of the area. So they gave the Palestinians not a state, but occupied or gave them the territory. That was back in 2005. They did it trying to appease the Palestinians. But what happened inside the Palestinians, the jihadists began to take power, creating Hamas, and now we have a terrorist operation that wants to become a terrorist state. We got enough of those already, beginning with Iran and China and Russia and North Korea. But at what point do you decide how many more pauses and ceasefire are we going to go through till we say enough? Senator Cruz.
The Israeli war cabinet voted to approve this deal, and I understand why. Bringing those hostages home is a major accomplishment. And I think it's critical, as we bring those hostages home, that we do not allow this pause to become fuel for leftists and the Biden administration to pummel Israel and say, do not return to the task of eliminating Hamas. The government of Israel has said they're going to utterly eradicate Hamas, and if and when they do so, that will be good for Israel, that will be good for America, that will be good for the world, and we need to, when the hostages have come home, we need to return to the task of eliminating these monsters that committed these atrocities.
Because they are still there. They'll be under the bassinets, under the hospitals, under the kids' schools, looking to do this all over again. Of course, he mentioned the atrocities. And of course, the left has been stating, and the atrocities are horrific. Members of the Senate, including Cruz, were to watch a video put together. And he said, I've already seen snippets of it, and I'm telling you, it's disgusting. It turns your stomach to see this treatment of other people. The left, of course, is saying, you know, if Trump were in power right now, we'd already be in World War III. They don't know that, but it makes a good campaign slogan. And, of course, if it does not break into World War III, they're going to praise Biden. Of course, in the minds of the left, all bad roads and events lead to former President Trump.
This is an NBC News special report. The results of a year-long investigation into the January 6th attack.
Day 5 of the unprecedented congressional hearings. Today, testimony from Justice Department officials whom President Trump tried to force out over his false election fraud claims.
He's become detached from reality, if he really believes this stuff.
As the committee tries to prove that the former president was responsible for the assault on the Capitol.
President Trump summoned the mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack.
New evidence set to be revealed today as the January 6th committee makes its case to the American people.
Dun, 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 NBC. Yeah, that's a throwback. Throwback to June 2022, as they began the January 6th committee hearing. That last voice you were hearing, the woman, that was Wyoming Senator Liz Cheney at the time. One of those approved to be on that committee. One of two Republicans, the other one being Kinzinger of Illinois. They would not allow Jim Jordan or Trey Gowdy to be on the committee because they would have been saying, you're not showing everything to the American public, and they didn't. Now, did you hear the statement as it was reported in that NBC statement? Talking about all that's going to be done, what they're going to prove. In fact, let me get the exact quote here. I have it written down. All of this as the committee tries to prove that Trump is responsible for what happened January 6th. Those words, as the committee tries to prove, they already made up their mind that Trump had done it. They weren't trying to prove it. They were just trying to document it, and they fell short. Yes, we've had people arrested who were there that day, some properly arrested if they were battling Capitol Police. We've had others arrested because one of them sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair with his feet up on her desk, arrested and sent to jail. I would call that a trespassing. I wouldn't call it an assault, but they want to make the whole thing appear to be it was an intent, an insurrection. And they've even re-identified what the word insurrection means. Now, I couldn't tell you what their latest meaning is, but the basic understanding of an insurrection is you're trying to overthrow the government. They were using those terms and to say that it would destroy democracy, as if suddenly those on the left were concerned about democracy. Hillary Clinton herself, after she had lost her election to Trump, immediately said, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. That's part of our Constitution. But she wanted to get rid of it because she said, I had the most votes by popular vote. I should be the president. That's not what the Constitution says. So that's why these legislators were gathered in Congress that day to certify the Electoral College count. There were questions then. There remain questions now as to how many of those votes were legitimate to begin with. And I remind you, of course, that at all points, the moment the FBI had its hand on the scale saying, ignore the Hunter Biden story, it's false. They were already, before a vote was cast, weighing it in behalf of Trump's loss, Biden win. Well, things are beginning to shake on the Hunter Biden scandal. We'll have that coming up in the next hour before we're done. And a guest about Iranian hackers. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today. 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a little story of something that happened over the Thanksgiving weekend that did not get a lot of attention. It happened in a small Pennsylvania town, and on that Saturday, November 25th, the Water Authority announced one of their booster stations was hacked, and they know who's behind it. Joining us with more details is retired Lieutenant Colonel, Marine Lieutenant Colonel, Semper Fi, sir, Tommy Waller.
Hey, Semper Fi, Larry.
Tommy Waller.
Semper Fi, Larry, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir, Center for Security Policy, President and CEO. Well, sir, the town apparently aware that the group that was attacking was who?
Well, the group's name is called Cyber Avengers. Avengers is spelled a little bit oddly with a three instead of an E, but it's an Iranian group. And, you know, it's interesting how fast they identified the hackers. Almost in such a speed that we think perhaps the hackers actually were quite comfortable allowing the world to know.
They wanted. That's what I was wondering. They wanted. And the name of the town again?
So the name of it was a municipal water authority, Alkeepa, Pennsylvania, Alkeepa. I'm not from there, so I may be mispronouncing it. So apologies to anyone in Pennsylvania who's part of that municipal water authority,
sure.
But it serviced a number of different towns. And so, you know, these booster station is just one of these types of infrastructure in the water sector. Of course, you have critical infrastructures in 16 different sectors in the United States. And many of them use what are called ICS systems, like industrial control systems, right? And so in this case, it was what's called a programmable logic controller. By a brand named Unitronix. And so these things, you know, they monitor pressure, they can monitor temperature, all these sorts of, readings that you would get in an industrial, type of system. And it's a vector of attack, you know, for hackers.
To make clear to everyone, no one was affected or hurt or harmed by this. It was just, what was it, a test or just to prove that we can?
You know, that's, we don't of course know the intention of the attacker, but yeah, you have to kind of look and see, like, based on what happened or what didn't happen, it might give you some idea. You know, one could certainly imagine that if they had intended to do great harm, they most likely would have, they would have actually manipulated the controllers in such a way that it did cause harm and that didn't happen. They perhaps would have tried to remain undetected for a longer time. This could just be a form of sending a signal both to Israel and to the United States and the rest of the world to say, hey, we can get inside of your infrastructures as perhaps a way to try to threaten both Americans and Israelis and those nations that might be supporting Israel in this ongoing war, which frankly, Larry, is a defensive war being fought against Iran and its proxies in Israel and in the Middle East.
Well, to that extent, I keep hearing you're dinging. Are you getting special messages? Are you getting alerts from the White House as we're speaking? Maybe I should ask.
Certainly not from the White House, Larry, unfortunately.
That's all right. I understand, sir. And it's not an issue for us. I just wanted to have some fun with you there. The thing about it, too, is that they don't seem, as you said, they don't seem to be concerned. They want it to be known that they were doing it. And is that because that they aren't tied to some of the Iranian proxies in the Middle East?
Well, I think, you know, so when it comes to cyber attacks, there's always going to be difficulty with attribution where, you know, you have, in some cases, you may have Russians using, you know, some computer or network in another country to mask their attribution, to mask the fact that they're behind it. In this case, it appears that the Iranians did not care to have that be masked, right? And so I guess what it tells us is that they are demonstrating to the world that they have an active and hostile cyber capability that can target critical infrastructures, right? So as the United States and Israel is making their calculations and how to deal with Iran, they have to put this into that calculation, right? And so this is one of the things that, you know, offensive cyber capability can do is leave an adversary questioning, well, what should I do? Can they turn the lights off?
Right, that's the next issue. Yeah. You're listening to retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Tommy Waller, now the CEO and president of the Center for Security Policy. And as you guys track this, I see that you have research here showing that there's something like 1,800 of these Unitronic systems across the world, 220 in this nation. So if they decide to step up the attacks and see how fast they can cause chaos, they've got plenty of targets.
That's right, Larry. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of targets. And that's one of the things, you know, we're blessed. Our Center for Security Policy sponsors something called the Secure the Grid Coalition. It's a nationwide group of people who are working to try to keep the lights on in America. And part of our coalition, there are these really profound cyber experts, right? I'm an infantry Marine. Right? I'm not a cyber expert. But, you know, we're blessed to have connections with some of them. And one of them in particular, Joe Weiss is his name. He, you know, his articles are linked in our article on our website. He's consistently sounded the alarm about these industrial control systems that often the security aspect is left out. They're made for convenience. But like if you can't measure or if you don't know that your measurement of things like temperature and pressure and flow, if they can be manipulated and you don't know about it, that's a perfect platform for an attacker to not only attack Larry, but potentially to mask it and make it even seem like it could have been a safety issue,
right?
That wasn't even induced via the cyber domain, and so this is where we're really concerned.
Yeah, on the water system, I can see, and again, I don't know if it could happen, but I mean, if they could reverse situation where sewage is going into the water pipes, and that's what's going into the homes and everything, but it takes a while before word gets out, and then they don't know, do we have a boil order for just this area, the whole area, or a part of the nation, and then you get into electrical power, the grids, while everybody's trying to push everyone to use electrical vehicles and everywhere, you're not going to be going anywhere. And then that's also moving to the power companies that are using coal and gas units.
Right. Yeah, Larry, you know, you talked about water and you talked about electric let me just, for your listeners, probably the single biggest takeaway that they ought to have from this news is, well, two things. Number one, that every one of our civilian critical infrastructures are on the front line of a worldwide battle, right? Cyber, that domain allows our adversaries to target our own communities. So we're all on the front lines. That's point number one. Point number two, we, all the people, have to be better prepared from the bottom up. So, for example, if you aren't prepared to go without water that comes from your municipal supply for some period of time, or you're not prepared to live without electricity for some period of time, well, then you're not recognizing the battle is on our own home front. So we need to be better prepared, and then we need to secure this infrastructure from the bottom up.
Well, I hear you, and I think much of my audience does, but there are still those who are saying, well, it's never really going to happen. It's just a threat.
Right. Probably the same thing that people thought before 19 hijackers flew planes into buildings, right, on September 11th.
Correct.
We can't afford to have that kind of failure of imagination, Larry, as you well know.
Well, what is the government doing to make sure these are more secure? I mean, a lot of these transmission lines and everything else, they've been in a place for so long, and different systems are co-joined. They kind of halfway actually match up, and other times they don't. They have to reformulate. I mean, we're at a disadvantage as we even begin this, I would say. Am I wrong?
Yeah, Larry, we do. We've got a lot of aging infrastructure, but I'll tell you this. I mean, look, if there was ever a time when we could, quote, afford to put resources and investments into security, in theory, it would be now, after the Biden administration had this, you know, $1.2 trillion, quote, infrastructure bill.
Right.
So what people need to be paying close attention is, where is that money going? Right. And that's part of what we've tried. We've tried as much as we can to brief members of the Biden administration. I briefed the Secretary of Energy twice on major suggestions on where investments need to be made, at least for the grid, the electric grid. And I don't see a lot of indication. In fact, I don't see any indication at the federal level that they're listening. And that's why I mentioned for your listeners the approach from the bottom up. Right. So if at the local and state level, people can be looking at, okay, where is the federal government investing, and where should they be? And then if they're not, then how do you figure out how to afford it on your own? How do you, you know, make the investments in this? Because we're on the front line of a global battle when it comes to our civilian critical infrastructure.
Well, now, I know we've heard several times before about EMPs, things of that nature, where electronic blast at a high enough altitude could blow out grids all for a quarter of the nation or more. And yet this is still another way. In other words, everything Correct. We've got is vulnerable, if I'm hearing you correctly.
But all of our civilian critical infrastructure is vulnerable in many different ways. And so, yes, it's up to the people who own and operate it, and the regulators at the state and local level, because the federal government's failing, right? So let me just take very briefly one point, the natural form of EMP. So electromagnetic pulse, right? There's a nuclear form, but the natural form comes from the sun. And it's 100% certain at some point the sun will produce that kind of solar storm that could take down our nation's grid. And so right now we're unprotected. And if we know that that's going to happen at some point in the future, then we have to take action. Larry, that's exactly the thing that I briefed our Secretary of Energy on twice. It's exactly what I told her. It would be 1/3 of 1% of the Biden infrastructure bill to fix nationwide. They're not listening, so it's up to us to do it at the local and state level.
Well, I'm glad you're sounding the alarm. We'll help you continue to do it. Tommy Waller, Center for Security Policy. Tommy, Lieutenant Colonel Marine, Semper Fi, and thanks again.
Semper Fi, Larry. Thank you so much, sir.
You bet, sir. Coming up, could the Biden dam be breaking?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beale roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com, litstl.com.